Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Let me tell you, my family, see, this album, the latest Ndokozo Mbambo album, is just one of those albums. I mean, it's going, I can feel it. It's one of those that have legs and feet. It's a thing. Lebo Sikhwela with Urain Forever. Playing in your background, 38 after 12 is your time. The next 22 minutes are dedicated to conversation. We're calling you. Iyuth Ndala, can izani, please. We'd like you to be part of this conversation as we navigate life after 40. You see, books have not yet been written, or at least let me put it this way. Not enough books have been written to prepare, you know, us for the aging process, okay? And I don't know if aging is the right word to use, but, you know, for the maturing process is the right word. Yeah. And so let's have then these conversations, because I, you know, just out of observation, I'm starting to understand that sometimes, you know, you could be going through something and you think you're the only one, but no, there's a whole other community going through exactly what you're going through. But because we're not normalizing changes, you know, and the things that we go through as we mature, then these things become taboo. And so I welcome this afternoon, absolutely, very, very grateful, my family, to welcome Nonkululeko Ndlovu. She is, believe it or not, the former Miss Soweto. Where were you? Unolikai. Vavas J. She's also the founder of Turning Heads Artist Management, Soaring Eagles Academy. She's a filmmaker and producer. She's definitely a captain of industry, one of those pioneers, you know, raising the flag about telling godly good stories in the space of arts and entertainment. Sis Nonkululeko, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Good afternoon, Ayanda. I am honored and I greet all the listeners. Hello out there. What a glorious day.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It is a glorious day. So let me start this conversation by saying that you are one of those people, you know, you are one of those people that helped me understand the broader definition of sister. So a sister is that person, you know, who fights with you willingly and happily at any given time, sometimes for no reason and sometimes for good reason. and they do so perfectly, you know, excellently, you know. But you know that they've got your back, right? You know that they love you. Only people who love you will be able to fight with you like this. And that's how I characterize our relationship. And it's such an honor, Nonku, you know, that you are literally on the radar. The Lord really bless you. And thank you so much for your availability this afternoon.
No. Thank you so much. I agree. We are being chiseled through the sisterhood.
Hundreds. Talking about sisterhood, now, this conversation is supposed to bring light, Nonku, and normalize the experience of maturing. Let me put it that way. And I think this experience begins at 40. Would you agree?
Okay, so I have to say something.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, when I was 33, said to me, oh, you're in your Jesus crisis phase.
Oh, wow.
And then I said to myself, the Jesus crisis phase, 33.
Yeah.
She said, yes, this is when people are going to betray you. What happened to Jesus when he was 33? And then I laughed, right?
Wow.
Can I tell you, immediately after that, I was betrayed in ways I had never imagined. And I remembered that conversation when a film friend of mine had said that.
Yeah.
Marina Becker, when she had said, you're in your Jesus crisis phase. So I do think it, for me, it began before 40. It began at 33 when I realized that I could be betrayed in those ways. Or when your eyes are open to the betrayal. Maybe before you were not
sure.
Sort of spiritually awake. But at 33, because if you remember, it's Judas, but it's also when Jesus said to them, will you eat my flesh and drink my blood? And they were like, what? We cannot understand what he's saying. And then I realized that I had started saying things that were too tough for, quote unquote, people around me. So they started leaving. Whether it's through betrayal or whether it's just she's fanatical or she's crazy or she's hard-nosed, whatever the case might be, but you are now beginning to say things that are too tough for people to bear.
And so So then when you look at that window period, Nongu, just leading into 40, what are some of, you know, the discoveries that kind of made you realize, oh, ngoku, I am truly, properly adult, even though the definition, you know, says that you're a youth until you're 38 or whatever. I don't know, I think it's 40 now. But what are some of those experiences that you came up, or rather even lessons, you know, so that it doesn't become personal, even lessons that you started learning and picking up from your enlightenment around the issue of betrayal? What are some of those lessons?
That's a very good question. I do think the Bible says discretion shall keep you. And I think sometimes we read it like poetry when we're actually supposed to apply it. So when you grow up, when I grew up, I was very open and bright and colorful, and everyone is your friend, and the world is bright and beautiful and whatever. And then you learn through that you shouldn't have given away certain information, you shouldn't have been as open, which is actually a dance, because God says we must love everyone and that we must do good to those who persecute us. So you have to do a dance, but you have to be careful with certain of your personhood. So I'll give an example. When I was younger, if somebody said, hey, do you have Vaseline? Can I share your Vaseline?
Sure.
Or can you borrow me your bag? Or, hey, I have an event. Can you give me? So 2 days ago, somebody said to me, do you have Vaseline? And I said, you know what? I do have it, but I don't share Vaseline with anyone. So I'm sorry, I can't share it with you. Or like, you know, you just use wisdom in how to answer.
Yeah.
Because now I know that in witchcraft, all a person needs is your Vaseline as a point of contact. You understand? But that's not a wisdom I would have had in my 20s.
Wow.
Because in my 20s, we say everything. We're best friends. Hey, we be a bestie. What? You know what I mean? But like, as you get older, you start realizing discretion really shall keep you. That's why they would say to you, certain people, your friends mustn't enter your marriage room, you know, because they understood the discretion, that there should be boundaries, even in relationships, in all relationships, you know.
You know, Nongu, what you're saying is really taking me, it's taking me to places, you know, I didn't really want to go to today. You know, let's talk about that process of learning boundaries, because I do think that, as you've said correctly, you know, that we are socialized to be accepting, to be open, and you're kind of shut out when you are more cautious, you know, about your personhood. You know, and there's even terms that we come up with, you know, for people like that, upakeme, and all of these things. And yet, part of the maturing process, and I think this becomes absolutely realized and actualized after 40, where you realize, actually, you know what, I choose me now, you know. I'm going to learn how to say uncomfortable things, but actually, I choose me. Talk to me about that process of learning, you know, boundaries. Boundaries are so uncomfortable. And sometimes you find you're having to place boundaries even with family.
Absolutely. Well, you can't be a king without boundaries, right? So kings don't play with commoners, not in a bad way, but like at a certain point, you have to say to yourself, I have to spend more time with the king more than with people. Whereas when I was younger, it was really idolatry, because I relied more on people's relationships rather than God. So some of those things, that is why the Bible says all things work together. So you have to actually find the vocabulary to say certain things to certain people. I've had to find the vocabulary for my parents, my siblings. And if you don't do that spiritually, you can never grow to a certain level. Look, the Bible says an heir, except he grows up, he will remain a slave.
Sure.
Right?
Come on.
So one day you have to say to your father, no, I will not come to you, to your ancestral lunch. That is authority. That is also discretion. You also need wisdom in how to say that to your father who raised you. You also have to say that to your mother if maybe she wants to share something with you and you realize, you know what, I cannot share this with my mother because my mother is not going to be discreet about it. She's going to go to the stock fell and speak about it. Or my mother herself is in a situation where she's in a company of witches because she's one. You understand? These are deep things that I'm saying. So God begins to just show you slowly through dreams and visions that you want to be careful there. You want to, you know. Or you see in a dream, like for instance me, I started seeing some of my friends. I'm fighting for my dresses back in dreams. I'm like, the one friend, I was camping outside the house trying to get my marriage ring back from my friend. And that's when I was like, huh? What is happening? So you have to start to have the vocabulary, because we were raised as African people, Ubuntu, hey, into yame yako. No, no. And so there's a thin line, and you have to draw the boundaries, and you have to ask wisdom from God in how to say it, because also God doesn't want us to be prideful or to be harmful in
or rude. Yeah, that's not
or
the character rude, of love. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
So in all of that, Nonku, there's also a process. You see, I think maturing and growing up, the reason why it has to be taught, I believe with all my heart that it has to be taught. And the reason, yeah, and the reason why we have to teach maturing and growing up is because, as an individual, you're now an adult, which means you're responsible for every part of you. You're responsible for your emotions, whether they're good or bad. You're responsible for the things that were done to you that you had no control over. You're now responsible sometimes for children of your own. You're responsible for everything. Talk to us about the development process that happens within you as an individual, especially at that age. Now I want us to focus on 40 and above, that age where you're liberated, you've raised children, you know, maybe they're adversity or whatever. You know, and you kind of have a bit of space to grow, space to yourself, you know, that development process of self-actualization. And, and the reason I ask this question is because as Christians, you know, we don't self-actualize, we Christ-actualize. You know what I mean? So we learn to die to self, and it feels like there's that development process in between having to learn everything, boundaries, this and that. Talk to us about that process.
Okay, so I want to talk to what happens to people when they become, when they get over 40, that we are not told and raised about, because we're socialized into that you are married and you have children, right? So what happens if you're not married? What happens if you're not children and you're over 40? So why I'm so in love with being a filmmaker, and why I say I miss liberty, is because I want to liberate people through film. Because when you see something on film, you say, wait, I can do that. It gives you permission. You see somebody who's melanated like you, who's got an afro like you, saying, no, Dad, I will not marry him just because you want me to. It gives you permission. Because we are told, this is culture. But what is culture? Culture is learned behavior.
It is, and practiced.
Exactly. If I just start saying now to my children, okay, from now on, we wear a machesi, whatever. Yes, down the line, they will think that it's the culture of the Zulu people. Yet I just started a tradition that people will now start following. Some may even turn it into a cult. You see what I'm saying? So I think for me, it really, film has been phenomenal. And I'm going to say this. I said to a friend of mine who's quite radical, you know, I used to say people are radical, but I've become one of those people.
It happens after 40 nonce.
I used to say people are Jesus freaks, but now I'm a Jesus freak.
Yeah,
anyway,
yeah.
I said, he was asking me certain things, and I said, you know what, don't worry, I'm going to do a podcast after certain people in my family have passed on. He said, you see, now I have to challenge that. You have to do that podcast now. Why must people die? Let's see that you are a true Christian and that you don't really care what your dad is going to say, what your mom is going to say, because you are fully liberated. And that challenged me, because I was like, why am I waiting for people to die? You understand? Like, what is that? Because that begins to be a kind of an idolatry. So, and I said, no, but I want God to give me permission. But he was like, no, God has given you permission. Look at in the Bible. When people have had to go against the grain, when Elijah had to go against Jezebel's prophets, you know, maybe the narrative of killing them was not from God. We don't know what God told him. But the narrative of standing up and said, choose whom you will serve, that is definitely from, you have to draw a line. So I think by 40, you should have, your first of all, if you have children, your children should have driven you to a point where now you need to draw boundaries.
Absolutely, even with
children
them.
Will eat everything and then come for your cupboard and eat your food. And you're thinking, wait, but I have a cupboard for you. And now you came for my, you ate yours, then you finished yours, then you came for mine. If you have a husband or a wife, you should be at the point where there are certain things that you now have to draw boundaries about. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine yesterday who was saying his wife keeps bothering him when he's in meetings about menial things in the house. Why doesn't she take charge? And I said, but you are over 40. These are the things that you should be ruling and reigning within your house. Don't tell me, go and have a meeting in your house and say, if you call me in a meeting, you are affecting the way I do business. You are affecting how we earn income. And you are distracting me. So let's have a system. You understand? So all of those things are over 40. But I have to be, again, controversial, Ayanda.
Yeah.
I was raised mostly by TV because I was not raised to go to you, do this and do that. And
sure,
most of the things I learned, including Guti, I'm going to menstruate, was through television. So that's why for me, that was so intentional from God, because now I know the power of television. The power of messaging and subliminal whatever, whatever, and don't. So for me, for instance, menopause. You know, what are we saying about menopause, both for men and women?
Why aren't we saying anything about menopause? You know, especially the fact that biologically it has been proven that some of us, you know, we go through early menopause, and then at 35 you're so confused because you're going through exactly the same thing that your older sister or even mom is going through.
And it's a fallacy that it's only one way with women, because I believe that midlife crisis is a type of a menopause. You understand? Certain things die. Like, you have to say goodbye to certain things as a man. And that's why men are socialized to go to, you buy a sports car or you start dating a young chick, because they're trying to hold on to something they should be saying goodbye to. Clothing, for instance. I can't wear the short skirts that I used to wear when I was 20.
Even if you have the body for it. Yeah.
Exactly. And might I say, I do have the body for
it. You do? That's why I'm mentioning this. Former Miss Soweto.
But I have to, like, constantly be saying, no. Yeah. Why would I? Because when I was 20, I wanted attention. I don't want that type of attention now. I really don't.
Sure.
I want a different type, which is, in the boardroom, can we hear what I'm saying? So if you're looking at my legs, it defeats what I'm saying. And
absolutely. And it actually almost, you know, I think it almost washes off, you know, and demeans the kind of work that you've done over the years. If people are still looking at your legs, there's nothing wrong, really, you know, but you want people to hear what you say more than they look at what you look like, really, at a certain age. So let's conclude our conversation just talking about the importance of having an education. What are your thoughts around that, and how has being exposed to education sort of accentuated and given meaning wealth, you know, to your life after 40?
Right. So why, when we apply for life policies, they reduce it if they find out that you've had education? They've done research and they know that people who have studied will live longer, because they're supposed to live a certain lifestyle. You know that you're supposed to be eating more apples and exercising or walking more because you've had exposure to that, right? We look at the diet system in South Africa and you almost want to say, are people really being stuck at a certain point because we are not eating as healthy as we should over 40? That's another topic, by the way, that I really want
to
talk
about. We need time for that.
But yes, so I think that, but more than education, I would say it's exposure, Ayanda. Exposure. When you travel, and I see it with my students, the minute we go to Durban and they've never been out of their township, it literally opens up a whole new world for them. Think of yourself the first time you saw a very expensive car, or you ate at a very expensive restaurant, and in your mind, it was like, this is possible.
Mm,
besides the expense, art, when you went to art galleries, how that opened your mind in a different way. When you start learning new language, how it opens you up. How, when you hear a different language, how it opens you up.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You get what I'm saying? So I think it's like neuroplasticity. There are people who've gone to university and they're like, okay, I'm done, and they stop reading. But there are people who haven't gone to university and who continually study. The more you give your brain more information and file it a certain way, because people say knowledge is power, and I disagree. Knowledge is not power. What does the Bible
it's
say?
How
wisdom,
you use. Yeah, no.
Wisdom, understanding, and knowledge together. By wisdom, a house is built. By knowledge, you know, by understanding, you maintain it. You understand? So it's not just knowledge. And you have to apply that knowledge properly as well. That's why I don't believe just because you're over 40, you are wise or you're intelligent. So for me, it's exposure plus education. And we know that education is a system, right? That's why now I would say if I had children now, I would homeschool them, because there's an LGBTQ agenda in the schools. There's a masturbation agenda in the schools. That is a system. It's not all education that is right, because now it's being used as a system to indoctrinate our children. So for me, it's exposure.
Nongo, I want this moment. I want to freeze this moment. I want to freeze this moment. I want to freeze this moment. But you know what? I want to come to the family joining us on the WhatsApp line. Hi, Sunette. Oh, girl, Sunette, let me tell you. So Sunette says, I love being in my 40s, almost 50. Wow, you look nothing like it. Anyway, so, and it's also another thing that I think we'll pick up when we talk about health. You know how, for some reason, you know the fountain of youth starts showing up after 40, for whatever reason. Anyway, and so she says, I have confidence like never before. Tick, we agree. Yes, I have more wrinkles, but I love how my body responds to eating healthy and exercises. Tick, it is different to when I was younger. I went into menopause at 43 and had to have a hysterectomy, but I made peace with it. So, and she says, spiritually, I grew so much since, and I'm so much in love with Jesus now more than ever. Tick, absolutely. I don't sweat the small stuff anymore. Tick, tick, tick. Nonku, your parting shots to those who are coming into their 40s and suddenly they are overwhelmed with all the changes and they have to live through it, they have to deal with it in 30 seconds.
So I love what I think Sunette, it's Renee said.
Yeah.
I love that she's embracing it. That's the number one. Embrace it. And if that means you have to take time out and just meditate on what it means and all the fabulous people in their 40s, that's what you should do. You know, we've got well, Connie Ferguson, who are looking fabulous. You know, we've got examples. Also, I think not everything is going to be pleasant. She's saying she loves the wrinkles. I don't have many, but I don't laugh. So, but I'm fine with that. I'm fine with the fact that I don't love them. So I'm just like on that castor oil. But yeah, so I think also just your brain is supposed to get better. And not sweating the small stuff, I totally agree with. So yes, yes, and yes. And confidence, yes, yes, and yes.
Absolutely. This is absolutely lovely. It was short. I really hope we can do this again, Nongu. But thank you so much for spending your afternoon. Right, let's do it. I really, really just thank you so much for the wisdom that you shared. I think it just opened up my eyes, especially around the issue of discretion and how the word comes alive, you know, as we truly commit to our lives to it. So thank you for spending your afternoon with us. And happy 40-ing, man.
Thank you. I'm honored. Thank you to Radio Pulpit. And thank you, Ayanda. You are awesome.
Fantastic. Now, where do we find you? Where do we follow you? Where do we connect with you and some of the work that you're doing in the arts and film space?
Well, we're going to have MissLiberty.net soon that we're launching.
Yeah.
All my socials will be there. at the moment is eaglesacademy.co.za.
Fantastic. Absolutely loved it. Nonkululeko Ndlovu, she goes by Miss Liberty, my family. Do you follow her? Find her right now. You will find Miss Liberty on X, that is Twitter. Otherwise, follow the work that she does. Amazing conversation. Two after one. We have to run to the newsroom and give you the latest in the news.
We are here 24 hours a day with the message of hope, faith and love on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729 and our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you.
Radio Pulpit's Facebook page makes you more a part of the station than ever before. Now you can give your opinion regarding our programs or even contact your favorite presenter. You can get the latest news and existing programs and communicate with other listeners. Come on, let your fingers do the talking on Radio Pulpit's Facebook page. It's interactive and dynamic. Just visit facebook.com/Radio Pulpit.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.